Good morning and welcome to Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH. I am your host, Mary Scanlon. Today we are going to talk about the Governor's Prevention Partnership here in Connecticut. We're going to be talking with Jill Spinetti, CEO and President of the Governor's Prevention Partnership and Program Manager, Monique Price Taylor. She is going to tell us all about peer-to-peer led youth programs. And you guys do so much stuff. The GPP building and offering youth prevention programs across the state. And this is a state-of-the-art research and training that's reality-based and relevant to what's going on in real young people's lives, and you know, creating environments to prevent substance abuse, misuse, bullying, and you're so much more than that. And we started the program today. I asked Jill, you know, is this something that's is there a different Governor's Prevention Partnership across the United States? And we don't have one everywhere.
There are no other ones. We are very unique in Connecticut. And I think how you described us is what makes us unique. It really blends together that cutting edge, the trends. We have to stay on top of what is happening with our youth right now. And as we know, there's a lot of things going on between vaping and the opiate problem, substance abuse, texting and driving. So we do take on a very broad
There's
mission,
a wide gamut.
A very, very wide gamut, yes.
Now, you guys do this all with an eye towards the future, and you're promoting effective prevention and intervention practices. And you serve as a source of training and using data and research and best practices for a direct use that's actually going to make sense to a younger population. Because sometimes we're like, oh, well, if we just tell them this, this, and this, and then show them these pictures, everything's going to be fine. But that is not how it works anymore.
It's not how it worked. And Monique can definitely speak to that. We have to listen to the youth, and we have to really be where they are and have them guide us.
So one of the things that we do through one of the programs that we offer is E3, Encourage, Empower, Engage, is we allow young people to take the lead through a peer-to-peer prevention strategy that focuses on underage drinking and substance abuse prevention. There are young people across the state, about 186 of them, that stand before their peers and work with them on how to kind of make healthy decisions. Mm-hmm. So we literally sit with them and we listen and hear from them directly on this is how we want to take this approach. And I'll give you a great example of what one program did in Old Saybrook. So vaping, as we know, is a big thing
in
Connecticut.
Let's talk about that because it drives me wild.
Right.
Wild.
And they decided to bring exposure to parents, and they actually held like a listening cafe, and their superintendent showed up and said, hey, this was a really great idea. Would you mind doing a professional development for the teachers in our district? So that this program, Old Saybrook Youth Services, are now going statewide and doing training on how the young people are training adults, which is a shift in how we think. It's a shift in the way we allow young people to lead, and it's a shared responsibility. So those are some of the benefits of connecting to the Governor's Prevention Partnership and providing programs like E3 to your school or community.
I want to talk
statewide.
More about Julie. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why I feel like it doesn't have the same stigma as smoking cigarettes. It's the exact same thing. It's nicotine, even though it smells like Fruity Pebbles. You know what I mean? It doesn't smell gross like cigarettes. It smells like, you know, cereal and, you know, other fun flavors. But it's just as dangerous. How do you know what's in those things?
You don't. And I think that's what the problem is. When kids don't think something's harmful, they're going to sneak it and they're going to use it. It's the same thing with marijuana, with alcohol. If they don't think it's harmful to them, they get away with using it. I do know that in the state right now, there's a lot of move towards raising the age where they can get it, doing away with the pebbles flavors, as you said, you know, the fruity flavors. That doesn't work. Bringing awareness so adults in the schools know what's going on, because before they were like doing it right during the school day, and then making parents aware of what the signs are at home. So it's a whole campaign, just like Monique said.
There's so much stuff to worry about as a parent.
That's right.
We're lucky to have the Governor's Prevention Partnership, you know, on top of these things, because you see the parents are like, oh, it's just steam. Mm-hmm. It's just steam. No, it is not.
And they get really creative. So, you know, there's ways that you can hide them. And that's one of the things that when in doing the training that they kind of expose parents to and educators, because, you know, there's so many innovative ways. Simply like as a water bottle, that would be a holder where you can pull the top of it out, but it really just allows parents and educators to be more aware of how these little instruments are seeping into your
homes.
I
have to tell you, if you don't think it's dangerous, I went to an event at a concert hall, and they weren't allowing them in because of the batteries. They were like, why? Oh. I'll just smoke in the smoking section. I'm not going to smoke it inside. And they said, no, we can't let you in. You can bring the whole thing in, but you got to leave your batteries in the car. Because there's something to do with the batteries that it could become, I know it sounds like I'm really making a leap, but a terrorist. You could create bombs with the batteries.
With the batteries, yeah.
So it's more than just the nicotine.
That's
right.
It's become the whole thing is dangerous. Yeah. Yes.
So I think that's very interesting. And I love the fact that it's E3 and you've got kids doing it and going out there and showing parents all the stuff that they're missing. And I know that we as parents think that we're pretty on top of things. We're like, oh, you don't think I did? And I don't know what you're doing. And you don't think I know that I see. But you see some of it. But you don't see all of it.
You don't see all of it. That's right. The trends do keep changing.
I love it that you're working with schools and getting involved in programs that, you know, really engage the student population and let them know that you're onto them and they're onto you. And, like, we all know we know what's going on. So let's get together and work towards just getting you into adulthood.
Right.
We just want you to make good choices.
That's right. And like you said, Mary, it's not about preaching. It's not about someone knowing better than someone else. It's engaging them. These youth really have different needs, I think, than in the past. You know, that model of us teaching them is not there anymore.
And, I mean, the interesting thing, too, about E3 is that they also get the opportunity to drive the project that they want to work on. So through their community campaigns, I mean, we may say that young people are really interested in underage drinking, but you would be surprised at what they come up with.
Drinking
you allow them
off a little?
To drinking hasn't fallen off, but mental health has come up and just like the pressure to study and to perform and excel. So you really, when you give young people a platform, an opportunity to be innovative, they really do take the lead and go forward.
And they love to talk about it. They love to let you know that I do know stuff, and I know that you've been wagging your finger at me for a long time, but here's what I do know, when I do have a chance to open my mouth and tell you what's going on. Now, you guys have lots of programs promoting safe school environments, but you've got healthy community programs as well. And one of them is, I'm going to, Por Los Niños.
Yes,
how'd
and
I
that's
do?
That you did very well. Yeah, Por Los Niños. It's a program in Hartford, but it's going to be going statewide soon. And just with the same model as E3, it's parent-led. So it started with the Puerto Rican for the Puerto Rican parents in Hartford, and they told us what they need. Many had immigrated from Puerto Rico or from other Latin American countries. They did not know the risk that their kids were facing. And then we're also hearing from parents saying, as I'm driving my school or walking my child to school, drug deals are going on in the corner or in my backyard. So they're just surrounded with the drug use. So they're becoming empowered to know how to address the issue. They're starting to talk to their legislators. They're creating videos and messages for each other, getting together in groups to say, how can we as parents stop this problem in our community? It's really empowering to see them. And then because it's so well known and received in Hartford, other groups are getting on, and now we're having Asian populations and other populations of parents wanting the same thing. It's parent-led. We listen to them, and then we create what they need and then, you know, help them to implement it.
And do we have these in, now that we've have them in Hartford, they're going to be specific to communities outside of the Hartford area?
Yes, and I would encourage anybody interested to call us because we are at the point now where we can disseminate this further. We have the tools, we have the resources and the staffing where we can talk to groups in other communities. It doesn't have to be a city about how this works.
Okay, and you guys are right on Jordan Lane in Wethersfield.
That's
very centrally located in the state of Connecticut, almost pinpoint center. That's nice. And if you want to contact anyone at the Governor's Prevention Partnership, you can call 860-523-8042. And you can always go to preventionworkscct.org. That's their website. It's got all the information about the programs that they offer, how you can get involved, how you can donate. I mean, it's all right at your fingertips. As always, if you're driving in your car this morning and you don't have a pen and paper, don't even worry about pulling over. When you get home, head on over to WRCH.com. I'll have all these numbers and all this information up there right at your fingertips. So do not sweat it. Now, you guys have more things going on, including increasing positive connections with adults, because sometimes people just don't have that relationship with their parents, but maybe just having a connection with an adult who, you know, can help you and guide you through this the trials and tribulations of becoming an adult. It's a great thing. You know, you guys have over 150 mentoring programs that serve 12,000 youth throughout the state of Connecticut. That's crazy.
It's huge. We've been doing this work for about 20 years now. And, you know, there's the science, there's the research, there's the background. But what I like to talk about is just that heartfelt need that people have to connect. And when a youth just feels lost in a big school or there's not an adult for them to talk to, and for some of the reasons like we had discussed before, they could be new to the country, they could be falling a little bit behind in their grades, they could be having a health issue at home in their family. It doesn't matter what the issue is, just having that person come into the school and having someone to talk to and care about
the
them.
The wall to bounce
off. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's transformative. And that's why we believe in it. And again, we have the research and that's all over here. It's really about that heart connection.
Every action, no matter how small, makes a difference. And this is a really, like, these are things that are benefiting kids that you don't know what kind of domino effect it's having, whether they're going to come back around and then become a mentor for you because they had the benefit of having a mentor through the Governor's Prevention Partnership. Now, if you want to be a mentor, can people sign up? Is there training? Are there, like, how do we get involved in this opportunity?
Most certainly. So they can definitely go to our website and go through our portal, the ConnecticutMentorDirectory.org,
okay.
And it will direct them on how to sign up to become a mentor. And of course, we, like you mentioned, what every adult can make a difference. When we have young people, a young person who needs a mentor, who needs that adult connection or that role model. So we are most certainly looking for mentors throughout the state of Connecticut, and they can go right on our directory, Connecticut Mentoring. ConnecticutMentorDirectory.org to ensure that they get connected to a mentoring program that is in their region.
Is there anything you need to be a mentor through the Governor's Prevention Partnership? Like, I don't have a math degree. I don't have anybody with math homework is what I'm saying.
You just have to be a caring adult. You have to like kids, like young people, want to be able to talk and have at least an hour a week available.
Okay.
The consistency is really important. If you make the commitment, we can't let them down by our busy schedules.
Yeah.
There is a screening a background check because we want to make sure the mentors who are being matched with the kids, you know, don't have anything in their background that would prevent them from being an effective mentor. But other than that, it's a wide open field. We encourage anybody from college students to retirees and everybody in between, all age groups, to get involved.
Just have the will and the drive to make a difference. I think that sometimes you don't realize the impact that your story can have. And a lot of young people can connect with where you've been and what you've been through.
So it's not necessarily people that have never made mistakes in their life.
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's you know, be willing to be transparent and authentic with young people because they really can learn a lot.
And they know when you're not.
Right. Mm-hmm. They can learn a lot through the things that you've experienced, but also you're not only teaching them, but a true mentor partnership or pair, you're learning from your mentor.
That's right.
So your mentee. So they can teach you a lot as well. And again, it's that shared learning that takes place where you thought you were going in to do one thing, but you end up being transformed in the end.
Yeah. And you know what? It really, I was doing a little bit of reading here, and you got to ask yourself a couple questions before you embark on something like a mentorship program, because it's an hour a week, but you got to be there.
That's
a lot of these kids have been let down before.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be another
That's right.
let down in the story.
Presence is important.
And, what time of commitment can you make? What age do you think you'll work best with? Would I like to work one-on-one, or could I handle a group of kids, once a week for an hour a week at least? Would I like to team up with other adults and do it as a team challenge? Do I want to do it with people I work with?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe your work will let you take an hour off a week and develop a program where they're giving back to the community that they do business in and develop a mentorship program that way. Am I going to be able to help with homework? I got to be honest, second grade math is different than it used to be.
That's
so
right.
I don't even know what's happening in the high school.
Right.
Forget it. And in what location are you willing to travel a little bit to get yourself out and start one of these programs? Remembering to be open and flexible and focusing on areas that you think you'll be best at. Set your sights on things that are attainable and then gather steam from there.
That's right. And be yourself throughout the whole process.
I agree.
Now, if someone is looking to use some of the resources, or if someone is hearing me and saying, I've never even heard about the Governor's Prevention Partnership, where do I get my kids signed up for one of these programs? I think my son or daughter needs, someone. How would
they get
involved?
Call us directly. You know, I encourage parents to call, and then we can find out more about the background and make sure there's a good mentoring program in their area. And I think that's an important step as well. Many times the schools and the community organizations will already know, but if a parent really wants information, have them call us or contact us through the website with an email, and we'll be glad to talk with them.
If you're just joining us today on Spotlight, we're talking to Jill Spinetti, President and CEO of Governor's Prevention Partnership, and Program Manager Monique Price-Taylor. She handles peer-to-peer youth-led programs. Now, underage drinking and substance abuse still happening. I mean, I don't know if it's changed at all. Have the numbers gotten better? Have they gotten worse? But, you know, I remember being in high school. And I remember it was happening.
Well, this organization's 30 years old, and I've been here 20. And so 20 years ago, I was hoping, oh, we'll make a difference and make those rates drop. The rates seem to be steady. And every time we get one down, another pops. So right now, the marijuana use is going up because of all the talk in the state about legalization. Mm-hmm. So young people say, oh, they're going to legalize it. I'm sure, you know, it's fine for me. They don't think it's a harmful substance. That's going up. Opiate use is going up because of the heroin problem.
So crazy.
It's really crazy, and just the number of people that are on pain medications and the ease of access that youth can go into a home and get them. So we really warn parents and adults, lock up the meds so that the young people don't get access to them.
And I think it's very interesting that there's a lot of athletes that are getting injured and not realizing that, you know, you've got this injury, you go have knee surgery, and then, you know, you have surgery, you need the pain medication, but how quickly and how easily and how without even knowing that it's happening, you can get hooked on opioids.
That's right. And there's been a lot of work done in the state through the task force and the government to educate doctors, make doctors accountable, educate consumers. And so you're right, with a sports injury, you want relief from the pain. But there's where a young person in the family can talk to the doctor. If there's a history of addiction in the family, let's talk about that. Let's talk about limiting the opioid use and still relieving the pain and see, is there anything else that they can use? So it's just being smart about all the conversations.
My son just had his tonsils and adenoids out. He's 7, and we went through Tylenol, Motrin.
Right.
I had to wake up every 3 hours like he was a newborn and make sure. But they don't give anything stronger than that
That's
anymore.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of awareness now.
And alcohol and the developing brain. I think when you're in high school, you think this is it. You know, this is my sweet spot in life. You know, I'm going to go have fun. We're going to do this. But your brain's not fully developed until your mid-20s. If I think about all the stuff I know, like that Rod Stewart song, if I knew what I knew then, what I know now, you really have to take a look at how alcohol affects a person's brain, function and development. And these are programs that you can go into a school and talk to kids about, blood alcohol content.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, many times people who are full-blown addicted say they started with alcohol. So, young people, if they can just delay underage drinking till they're older, they're less likely to become addicted in any way. So our whole goal is to keep them healthy and safe and have them realize that with drinking comes all sorts of problems with car crashes and unwanted sexual activity, injuries, I mean, all these things that happen when they're drinking and binge drinking.
And again, that's one of the benefits of bringing a program like E3 into your school and community. It really helps to drive those messages where young people are really getting an exposure to how to respond in those situations. How do I respond if I'm at a party and someone is peer pressuring me?
Right. She used to have the solo cup that she would pretend it was vodka.
Put soda in there, water.
Yeah. So it would be fooling people.
It really helps them to, in the moment, to think about how you would respond and gives them some strategies on how to do that through that peer-to-peer program, which is available and accessible to schools throughout Connecticut.
Right.
So if you're interested in bringing the E3 program to your school or community, we most certainly would love to have the conversation with you.
I got to talk about K2, synthetic marijuana. There was a big thing last summer on the Green in New Haven
where
they had overdose after overdose. And I looked at my husband and I said, listen, I know that I'm an old lady now, but if you see people out on the Green passing out, ambulance coming to get them, why would you run and say, that sounds like a good idea? But I'm an old woman. I'll repeat that, like I said. And this is K2, synthetic marijuana or spice, is in Connecticut, and it's rampant.
It is rampant in Connecticut, and that situation was awful. And I think some of the K2 there was even laced with fentanyl.
Yeah, and I don't understand why fentanyl is showing up in everything.
Well, right, and fentanyl really is the killer. It's being laced into everything. And so talk about harm and talk about fear. Let's talk about that. When young people are just getting drugs off the street or from each other, there's no regulation. Mm-hmm. They don't even know what they're taking. And so that is where we find the harm.
And that's the thing. Fentanyl is not just in heroin anymore.
Right.
So if you think you're just because you're not an intravenous drug user that you're safe and you're okay, fentanyl is going in everything. Cocaine, crack. It's in spice. Mm-hmm. It's in marijuana. It's in everything now.
And I'm not a medical expert, but with the Narcan, we can bring people back from overdosing on heroin. But the fentanyl, I don't think Narcan
works in other capacities.
Exactly. And so people really have to be aware of what they're putting in their body. But I think sometimes when people are addicted, they have an illness, and they're just taking anything they can get that high. And so that's why prevention is so important, because we want to really prevent that end stage with our young people.
I agree.
And another point, Mary, that I just like to make is there's so many employers and big corporations in Connecticut that are investing in us because they want the future workforce to be healthy and well and prepared. And so kids can be really smart and get their degrees and everything else, but if they have these issues of substance abuse or mental health, they are not going to be prepared for the workforce. So I think that's another reason why this is so important.
I love that you touch on the mental health portion of it, because I think this generation now more than ever is so in touch with their mental acuity or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. I think they know and they're more open to talking about it. Like when I was in high school, nobody ever said, you know, I'm depressed or
anxious,
or said it in a realistic way. It was like, oh, I'm so bummed out. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't a real thing. And now kids are so in touch with their emotions. And I think it's because of programs like this that, you know, we bring it out in the open. We talk about it.
Right. And that's reducing the stigma.
Bring light.
And reducing the stigma. It's okay. You can talk about how you really are. And back then, we also didn't know about the effects of trauma. And trauma could be anything, a divorce in the family, a death in the family, and kids are new, adopted. These things affect young people. We've also seen the suicide rates going up in the state. You know, and that's a heartbreak when, you know, middle school kids are contemplating suicide.
And younger.
And younger. We have got to talk about these things. Adults in school buildings and communities have to be prepared to have these conversations.
And what's even worse is that once you have the tragedy of one suicide, the mimicking and how it rolls into several.
Right. And so for a 12-year-old to think there's no reason to live is such a heartbreak. We've lost a bright, precious soul, you know?
I saw a teacher had posted something on her wall where all the kids got to design on a Post-it note. And on the wall was a chart that said, how I'm doing today.
Oh, wow.
And it said, I'm doing great, having a good time, I'm okay. You know, and it went all the way down to, I need someone. I need help, you know, and so nobody's names were on the front of the papers, but the teacher knew whose is whose, and she could tell what students needed talking to. On a day-to-day basis, kids were allowed to change where they were at emotionally, so the teacher had a good gauge and a good idea of what was going on, whether it was something that happened at home that was still weighing heavy on them that was going to affect their school day. So I think it's important that we keep that dialogue completely
open. That's fabulous.
Open.
What a great model. I'd like to know more about
teacher,
that.
Yeah.
And for the youth to know they can go in there and have a safe adult and a touch point and someone cares about
like
them.
Case
and that.
Yes. Then teachers were always wondering, I wonder what something's off about Johnny today, and wondering what's happening, and he's in his seat only running through things that are in his mind about what's happening in his day. So instead of sitting with it all day and snapping or lashing out at teachers or classmates, he says, I might need a little something
extra. I need
extra
a touch
today.
Point that's
so
great,
setting that guideline for mental health awareness. And it goes along that line with keeping, you know, school safety and school violence.
Right.
Our kids go through shooter drills.
Yes,
at school
exactly.
Once a month, you know.
Yeah, the world that they live in has just changed.
It's evolved and changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great that, you know, that teacher has to share that example for an opportunity for young people to connect and know that I'm not alone in my struggle and that someone sees me. Because I think visibility is key, especially for
someone
young
people.
Someone
sees me and at the same time keeping a modicum of privacy.
Yes.
Right. So not the whole world doesn't know what's
that's
going
on. And the other link back to substance abuse is then kids are likely to self-medicate. If they feel really awful, you know, with anxiety or depression, they're more likely to, you know, use marijuana, use alcohol, and sometimes that is how addiction starts. And then it's a complicated factor to pull those two things apart. Mm-hmm. So we want to catch youth early. In fact, we've really evolved to working with middle school now. In our past, we were doing college and high school, and over the years, now we're down to the middle and even the elementary. Yep, that's right.
Well, this is important work. You guys can't do it without support from the community, whether it's donations from regular people like you and I, or if it's someone who wants to invest a tax-deductible donation to help ensure today's kids are thriving in their families, in their schools, and in their community, so then they take their place in the next step of life. You can support, make it possible to advance the mentoring programs or increase, you know, school attendance, promote positive school climate, you know, promoting community-based substance abuse programs. Everybody has a role to play. And if you're like, well, I don't have any kids, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter if you have kids or not, because these kids are going to become adults, and these adults are going to become people that are in your community.
That's right.
Doing things for you. So it's going to come back around, the butterfly effect, you know, comes back around in your life again. So if you're a corporation and you want to set up a mentorship program where you're going to let, you know, your employees take an hour off every week to participate in one of these kind of things, you can double the impact of your gift by having your company match donations if you do jeans days on Fridays.
That's right.
You know, everybody kicks in $5 to dress down on a Friday and your company matches that gift. How amazing would that be if you could donate that back to the Governor's Prevention Partnership? This is all programs that have been proven to be working. They're positive impacts on the community. And these kids are turning into adults, like I said, that are going to be part of your backyard, whether they're your butcher, your baker, your candlestick maker, whoever in between, they're going to be someone who affects you in some way, shape, or form in your life. So investing in our kids and our youth is important for tomorrow.
Thank you, Mary. You said that so beautifully. And if anybody has questions, especially about the mentoring and letting employees out during the workday or how to set these things up, we'll also take calls if people want to say, what's in my community? Mm-hmm. I want to join a coalition, or I want to know what's in my schools. Please get in touch through the website or the phone. And our staff are really glad to talk with people.
And it's super easy to get to PreventionWorksCT.org, the Governor's Prevention Partnership, unique to our state. We're very fortunate to have them. They're on Jordan Lane in Weathersfield. If you want to give them a call, it's 860-523-8042. Again, it's 860-523-8042. I'm going to have PreventionWorksCT.org, the link up at WRCH.com. You're going to be able to check it out on the radio station website a little later today, and it'll be super easy. It'll just be a click through. All easy peasy for you. You guys, thank you so much for coming in. Monique Price Taylor, you are the program manager that's doing a lot of great work. That E3 program sounds amazing. I'm so excited that it's spreading across the state.
Thank you for having us, and we are having our first annual youth summit.
Oh, good.
It'll be May 17th, and it'll be at Goodwin College. We have
love Goodwin College.
Great keynote speakers lined up, and it's from 8:30 to 2. And again, you can reach us through our website or via phone if you're interested in learning or how you can start an E3 program in your region. We will have a session, a roundtable for new advisors. So we're looking to expand our scope. Right now we're in about 9 schools statewide, serving about 716 youth, and we want that to be over 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you are a educator or you're a parent who thinks that your child's school or community program can benefit from an E3 program, please by all means reach out to us. We would love to have you join us at the summit on May 17th.
I love it. I'll have all that information up on the website as well. Jill Spinetti, Monique Price Taylor, thank you so much. The Governor's Prevention Partnership for the state of Connecticut. I love it. And thank you so much for joining us this morning on Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH.